It's good to be with you here in the house of the Lord together. And it's good to be here because of Him. As we were singing some of those songs, they were songs, some of them, that brought some conviction to me. Because He lives. Have you really thought of the words of that song? Personally, I guess in a lot of ways a proud person. I like to take control. I like to deal with things in my own power and my own strength. And that song says to me over and over that it's not about me, it's about Him. It's because He lives, I can face tomorrow. It's because He lives, no matter what goes on in this world, we can go forward. And then we sang in Christ alone. And it's because of the finished work of Christ. And when I look at those songs, as I read and as I sing those songs, it pricks at this proud heart that likes to do things apart from God, who doesn't put God first in all that I do, in all that I say, and causes me to reflect on, do I serve, do I truly believe that I serve a sovereign God? Because if I did, that's where I would go first. That's where I'd put my trust for today and for tomorrow and for the days to come. I wouldn't worry about the things that are attacking and are coming my way. I would be able to look at things from a biblical perspective. And this morning I would ask you, if you have your Bibles with you, to open to the book of Mark. And today I want to read a passage of scripture from Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35 and reading down through verse 41. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35, going down through verse 41. Now on that day, when evening had come, He said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" What an interesting question to ask of the Lord. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's just open with a word of prayer. Dear God, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I ask that this morning as we open your word, Lord, that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit. That you will use your word to bring about transformation in our lives. That you would convict us of areas where we need conviction. That we can grow to become more and more like the image of your Son. Lord, may others see you through us, in spite of who we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I entitled my message, In the Midst of the Storm. In the Midst of the Storm. And the first point that I want to bring up is talking about the scenario. And to truly understand this passage, I think we need to go back and look a little bit at the beginning of chapter 4 so that we can get the context. And as chapter 4 begins, we see that Jesus is beginning his teaching ministry with the 12 disciples. And he has taken them to the seashore. And there's a great crowd of people that have gathered around him at that place. And so great a crowd of people that to be able to speak to them so that they could all hear, Jesus got into a small boat and he went out onto the water. And he used the benefits of speaking on the water and having the water amplify his voice and being able to keep the people far enough back that they didn't block his voice so that everyone could hear what he was saying. But then it's interesting because Jesus has started to teach the people using a method of speaking to them in parables. And it's interesting because why would a person speak in parables? And it says very clearly to us why this he spoke in parables. In verse 11 it says, And he said to them, To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. And that's to the disciples that he was speaking. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. That's some pretty powerful words there. If you understand the gravity of those verses, we then understand why Jesus was speaking in parables. And it's after Jesus has spent a full day of teaching, when it has come to the evening time, as we read in verse 35, that he tells the disciples that we're going to get in the boat and we're going to go to the other side. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go on vacation, I like to go to places where there's water. There's something about being beside the water that brings a calmness to my soul. It's been a favorite thing of mine from maybe, well, as long as I can remember. My great-grandfather, he had a farm on Prince Edward Island, and one of the neat things about this farm, it was one of the old homesteads from way back in the 1800s, and they in PEI, one of the things about all the farms is they're long and narrow. And that's because all the farmers wanted to have a piece of land that went out to the water. And so these farms all come back in from the shore. And one of the funnest things that I remember growing up was every day when we were out at my great-grandfather's, we could walk down to the shore. And we could play in the water. And we could clam and we could do all of those things. And as I grew, I guess that infatuation with being by the water as times of repose or vacation, they grew. I went to Bible camp, and you know, most Bible camps are located by water. Not all of them, I'm aware, but a lot of them are. And one of the things that I loved, because Bible camp can get pretty crazy busy, but I loved waking up early in the morning, sometimes 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I go down to the lake, and I take a canoe, and I go out for a canoe on the lake. And it was so nice because the lake was like a mirror. It was just as calm as could be. And as I was on that, in that boat, cutting through the water, I was able to just spend time thinking and praying to God. I was able to reflect on His goodness to me as a person and what He has done for me. And so when I want to have times of vacation, even to this day, it seems I'm drawn towards the water, towards the sea. My boys, they like now to go fishing. And so this last fall, one of my Bible camps that I oversee, they were getting rid of a boat because it wasn't working for the what they wanted to pull a tube and things. But it worked great for a boat to go out fishing. And so I took the boat off of their hands and so they could get something that would be more accommodating. But now we can go out on the water and spend the time together. And a lot of these disciples, not only was the water a place of tranquility, a place of rest, but it was a place that they had grown up knowing. They were fishermen. Not only had they saw the tranquil waters, they had saw the storms that could come off of those waters as well. They knew what it was to be there. And so my next point brings us to the struggle. And we read in verse 36, it says, "And leaving the crowd," that's the disciples, "leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him." Now that's interesting to me, because that little phrase at the end, I never really noticed before this time. "And other boats were with him." It would appear that some of those people who had come to hear his teaching had come by boat. Or maybe they had access to boats because they were by the water. And after having been taught by Jesus for a full day, Jesus was saying, "It's time to go to another place." And these people are saying, "But we haven't had enough. We're going to go with. We're going to be with him." And that's important to realize, because as we read this passage, it's not just this one boat with the disciples and Jesus in it. There are many of these boats that are out on the water. And in verse 37, we read, "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling." I don't know about you, but one of the scariest things that can happen, and especially when you're in a smaller boat, is to have a big windstorm come up. Now, I have been on a large boat when I was passing from New Brunswick over to Nova Scotia. And it was quite the ride that I got to take on that boat, because it should have been about an hour and 15 minutes, maybe an hour and 20 minutes. But we were out for about 7.5 hours. And as we were crossing the strait, the Northumberland Strait, a great wind and a storm came up. So much so that the ferry couldn't dock on either shore. They couldn't go back to New Brunswick, and they couldn't continue on to Nova Scotia. And so we sat out on the water in the midst of this storm. Now, I was a young fellow at the time, and I got to say, I liked pinball. And you say, "Pinball? How do you play pinball on a boat?" Well, they put the pinball machines in the very center of the ferry. So even as the ferry went up and down, there was very little movement in that center area of the boat. And I have to confess that I had bought rolls of quarters to play this pinball game. And I played it until I ran out of quarters. And then my friend and I, who were going over to this youth retreat, we took a walk around the boat. And we finally realized that this big storm had been going on. Because we saw all these people with their heads over the side of the boat, expelling their lunches. And all of a sudden, as we were observing all of this, we were noticing that our stomachs were starting to get that way as well. And so we decided we better go back and play some more pinball. Now, maybe we should have been a little bit more concerned about what was going on. But we were in a large vessel. It would have taken a large storm to cause us great grief in that vessel. But my friend Arlen Van Ens, he's a missionary in Fort Chipewyan. And he was going out across the lake, Lake Athabasca. And as he was crossing that lake, a huge storm came up. And he shared with me about being in that storm. And he says the waves at one point were almost 14 feet high. And he was in about a 14-foot boat. And he was calling out to God to save him. Because he says, even as I had to time the boat, I had to have the right throttle so that I could keep the boat pointed the way that it needed to go. I had to try to ride the waves up and down so that they wouldn't crash in on me in the boat. But he says, even as that was happening, the water was pouring over the front of the bow as I was keeping the bow where it needed to be in those waves. And he says, I had the bilge pump and it was going as fast as it could go. But the water was getting deeper and deeper. He was fearful. He was wondering if this was going to be the end of his life. He was praying that the storm would subside so that he could make it safely to shore. And praise the Lord, it did. But this is the situation that the disciples are in with Jesus. They're in a small boat, but it doesn't have a motor. It's headed across. And they're out in the midst of the water when this wind has come up. This storm has come up. And the disciples, even though they're many of them experienced men of the sea, are at their wits' end. And as I was reading this passage, I was wondering, what about all those other little boats that were along with them too? What were they feeling as they went through the situation? So we had the situation, we had the struggle, but next we have the sleeper. The sleeper. And in verse 38, but he, and that's Jesus, he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. He was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. I don't know if I could have been asleep on that cushion. With the winds howling, the waves crashing, it wasn't that he was in a fancy cabin that kept him out of the elements. It wasn't that he was on a nice bed that was cushioning how the boat was moving around on the water. He was on a cushion, asleep. Now, the Bible doesn't say why he was asleep. There could be a number of reasons. Maybe he was tired out after a hard day of ministry. People can be tiring. I thrive off of people. But my wife, she says, when she has to go for a day at like a family Christmas day, by the end of the day, she's worn out. She needs a couple of days to recover. I'm like, I'm just ready to get going. Let's go all night. Maybe he was a little bit like my wife. He just needed to have some rest after a hard day with people. Maybe, just maybe, Jesus knew the situation that they were going to encounter. And he had a lesson to teach the disciples. And so we see the solution. So he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And what does it say next? And they, those are the disciples, woke him, Jesus, and said to Jesus, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Can you imagine? What an accusation to throw at Jesus. Do you not care? Jesus, don't you care? But how many times do we throw that same accusation at Jesus? Do you really care what's happening in our lives? Do you care what we're facing today? Do you care what I'm going through? Why is it that you're just asleep there? Why aren't you doing something for me? You know, as people, we like to play this blame game. And the funny thing about the blame game is it's always someone else's fault. It's never our own. We have no responsibility. And if we can't find anyone else to blame it on, hey, God's there. We can always blame him. But sometimes we just forget that God is with us in the midst of the storms of this life. Sometimes we feel like we need to fix what is going on. But what we really need to do is look and see that Jesus is with us. And he's waiting to show himself real for us. And so we see the surprise. And I think it's a bit of a surprise because of the result that we're seeing. And Jesus didn't even respond to the accusation that the disciples made. Do you know that? He didn't respond to the disciples at this point. He woke up. And it says in verse 39, and he awoke. And what did he do? And rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still." And do you know what happened? It says it right there. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Do you understand that? It wasn't like it petered away. It wasn't like this storm slowly went away. It was from wind, waves, howling, fearsome storm where the disciples thought they were going to lose their lives, that they were perishing, to utter quiet and calm. Instantaneous. Something that they would have never experienced before. I'm kind of wondering, those people that were in the other boats, out in the boat, that were crossing with them to the other side, what did they think happened? They were able to experience the miracle without even knowing the story behind it. They were able to be recipients of God's grace and mercy in spite of the fact that they weren't even asking. But when Jesus spoke, creation obeyed. And why? Because our God is sovereign over all of creation. And do you know what? We're part of that creation. And we serve a sovereign God. I think if we had looked at the disciples' faces when he spoke and the wind and the sea obeyed, we would have seen something. And I don't know if it would have been astonishment or fear or a combination of it all together. But when Jesus looked at them, he responded by saying, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" These are the men who Jesus was training. These are the men who knew Jesus the best. And sometimes when they saw, as in this situation, Jesus moving in a powerful and mighty way, they were afraid. They still showed a lack of faith. And in verse 41, we see how their response to these two questions that Jesus gave. And it says, "And the disciples were filled with great fear and said one to another, 'Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" They were filled with the fear of God. And you know what? We don't talk about that a lot in today's day and age. But we should have a fear of God. We really should. Because when he speaks, things happen. It's not for us to manipulate God for our own purposes. It's for us to trust him by faith. And God, through his word, continues to reveal himself to us. And the lesson that I'm learning is the more that I get to know who God is, the more I realize that I need to fear him. But I don't have to live in that fear. because he's redeemed me as his own. So today I'd like to challenge you to get to know God better. I'd like to challenge you to search for him in his word. Because as you search for him, he will be found. I want to challenge you today to not allow the storms of this life to distract you from the fact that God is with you and will never leave you nor forsake you. He's there with you during the storms. Sometimes we just need to look around and see. And if he is with us in the storms, just like with the disciples, we don't need to fear, because he will bring us through the storms. He will bring us safe to the other side, because he has promised. So when life seems to be crashing down, trust that God can and will provide for you peace in the midst of your storm. Let's pray. Dear God, I want to thank you, Lord, that in spite of my own shortcomings, that you prove yourself faithful over and over again. And Lord, when I lose sight of the fact that you are with me, you never leave me nor forsake me. And when it seems like my world is crashing down about me, Lord, that you are there to bring peace in the midst of the storm. Simply, we need to cry out to you, and you will answer. And so, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here today. Lord, knowing that we all face different challenges and different storms in our lives. But Lord, I pray that they would see you in the midst of it. That they would trust you to bring you, for you to bring them through the storm. And Lord, as they go through it, that they can have a peace and a calmness, because you have given it to them. That you can help to calm the storm that they are facing. And Lord, we pray that you would just bless each one. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.